one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it.
Harper, the swing of his life.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. The Phillies are officially the 2025 National League East champs, division winners for the second year in a row after Monday night's thrilling 6-5 win over the Dodgers in Los Angeles in 10 innings. The Phillies now 5.5 games up with 11 to play on the Dodgers for the number 2 seed. And most importantly, everybody got to have a champagne bath in the clubhouse on Monday night. I don't know how much of you listening to this podcast stayed up to watch the game. I will confess I did not. I caught the condensed game very early in the morning on Monday morning. But I wanted to get this podcast out just for everybody to kind of have on their timelines. It's a bonus edition of the podcast, so it'll be a relatively quick one. But hey, you got to get the content out there when the team wins the division. Second straight year, the Phillies are National League East champions. If they win one more game in this three-game series against the Dodgers, they will own the season tiebreaker against LA for that number two seed. The Phillies now just 1.5 games back of the Brewers for the best record in baseball. And this is the earliest the Phillies have clinched the division in franchise history. They do it in their 151st game of the season. It is the earliest by date they've done so. On September 15th, back in 2011, they clinched on September 17th. Of course, the season calendars are just a little bit different, but they are the first team in Major League Baseball to win their division. The Brewers clinched a playoff spot one day before the Phillies, but they have just a 5-game lead over the Cubs, those slackers, and so they have not clinched the National League Central yet. The Phillies, of course, taking advantage of a Mets collapse that coincided with their 4-game sweep of the Mets at Citizens Bank Park, and the Mets just continued on with their struggles after that. So yes, now a 12.5 game lead over the Mets, winning the National League East. They were just 7 games up a week ago, but won 7 of 8 to blitz to this division title. And what a thrilling way to clinch the National League East. The Phillies really have been beating playoff teams in all kinds of ways over these last 2 weeks. So many games have felt like playoff games. You had that series in Milwaukee against the Brewers, that 4-game series at home against the Mets. We didn't know that the two teams would be taking such divergent paths, especially when we got the Trey Turner and Alec Boehm news before Monday's opener against the Mets in that 4-game series. But they have played just so many National League contenders here over the course of these last couple of weeks, and they've won games in all kinds of different ways over these last few weeks. These are the types of games. Monday night's win against a really good team like the Dodgers on the road, back and forth. Phillies grab the early lead. The Dodgers then take over in the middle of the game. The bottom of the order mounts a rally as you get into the latter innings. And then it's bullpen guys giving up home runs back and forth. You go to extra innings. You get that. You scratch across that zombie runner. And then you hold on for dear life in the bottom of the inning as the Dodgers threaten. You make the pitches when you have to. You make the plays on defense when you have to. You get the big hits and the big moments when you have to. This was October baseball. This game against the Dodgers on Monday night, winning 6-5 in 10 innings, that is postseason baseball. These are the kinds of wins you're going to have to come up with. Those are the kind of hits you're going to have to get, the kind of plate appearances you're going to have to get, the kind of resiliency you're going to have to show. If they're going to win a World Series, this is what the Phillies have to do. That's why it's so heartening to see them pull off a win the way they did with all of that at stake on Monday night. They didn't want to let this division title go on for days. Wrap it up. Get that thing done. More to show yourself that you can do it, that you can take care of business against a really good team with this much on the line in a clinching situation. They missed that opportunity on Sunday when they couldn't get the job done against the Royals. They managed to do it against a more difficult opponent and in a more difficult situation. Once again, the Phillies playing endured mechanical problems. Are we using the Cleveland Indians prop jet from the movie Major League? Like, what are we doing here? This is like the third or fourth time this year the Phillies plane has had a mechanical failure that's gotten them into town late. They didn't get into Los Angeles until 2 in the morning on Monday morning. And yet, the Phillies got their rest, they got to the ballpark, and they got done what they needed to get done in Los Angeles in a playoff atmosphere, and now they are the National League East champions, doing all of the things right at just the right time of year. The best record in baseball since the start of August. You wanted this team to be playing its best ball at this at the most important time of the year? That's what you're getting. The whole lineup is coming through. In this game, you saw everyone in the lineup have their moment, essentially. Everyone. But we'll start with David Robertson. I want to start with David Robertson here. It's always difficult in the 10th inning not to allow the zombie runner on second to score in extra innings, but David Robertson, who was not on this team until August, was available for anyone to go out and sign, comes back to the Phillies for a third time around. I was not enamored with the signing. I didn't think this was going to work. But he was great with Texas last year and then just didn't sign with anybody all year. Comes to Philadelphia here for the last 2 months and has been such a huge part of what has allowed the Phillies to go on this late season run. Joan Duran gets all of the attention, and that is well deserved. But David Robertson's impact in this bullpen has taken the pressure off of Orion Kerkering and Matt Strom, just giving them one more really good late inning arm to finish off to get them through the last couple of months of the season and for October. Gets out of a bases loaded, one out jam by getting noted Philly killer Miguel Rojas to pop out to shortstop, and then gets the final out on a Max Muncy grounder to first base. He should have had Muncy struck out. Muncy clearly broke the plane on a check swing that the third base umpire totally blew that call. Totally blew the call. And then to have that intestinal fortitude, dare I say the testicular fortitude, to come back and make a perfect pitch on a backdoor breaking ball on the outside part of the plate. It would have been a strike. Would have been a strike if Muncy hadn't swung, and Muncy hits a weak ground ball to first base. Never even gets out of the box to run it out. Slips as he swings. Harper fields the ground ball, jogs to first base, and the party was on. A tremendous job by the 40-year-old reliever to get the Phillies those last three outs with the zombie runner on second and not allow a single run to score. If I needed three outs in the eighth inning of a playoff game right now, I'm going to David Robertson before I go to Orion Kerkering. That's just, and maybe that'll change as the playoffs go along, but for I feel more confident that Robertson's going to make the pitches necessary at this moment. We'll see how it shakes out here over the final 11 games, but a tremendous job by David Robertson. We got to talk about Bryce Harper. We have been waiting for Harper to have his first real hero moment of the season, and he gave it to us in the eighth inning. Maybe this is just the start, right? This is just the appetizer for what we're going to see from Bryce Harper in October, because we are used to seeing our superstar, when the moment was at its most important, when they needed a big hit the most, the guy you wanted to see come to the plate was Bryce Harper. That has not been the case this year for most of the season. But in the eighth inning on Monday night, Harper steps up and plays the hero. Scores tied 4-4. The Phillies have come back from 3-1 down. They looked kind of dead for most of this game. I'm going to go into the three-run rally in the seventh. But in the eighth inning, you've got, you know, the Dodgers have just hit a home run to tie it up. Harper comes to the plate, and on a 92-mile-an-hour elevated fastball above the letters out of the strike zone, Harper gets on top of it enough, gets under it enough, but gets to the ball and smashes a solo home run to right center field to give the Phillies a 5-4 lead. Alex Vesia has a 2.78 ERA on the season and a 0.98 whip. And Harper goes solo shot, tank shot to the right center field seats to give the Phillies a 5-4 lead. And what I love just as much is watching Harper go around the bases fired up, pumping his fist, putting his arm up in the air, yelling out. They need that from him. They need that kind of positive emotion from their captain. They need Bryce Harper to be that guy to get the big hits late in games, late in close situations, and then get fired up. It gets the rest of the team pumped up. What a tremendous moment from Bryce Harper. That's the hero moment we have been dying to see from him this season. And he delivered in the clinching game. I can only think that's going to mean good things in October for Bryce Harper. The Phillies scored the go-ahead run in the top of the 10th, thanks to a double steal by that man, Harrison Bader. He was the zombie runner on second to start the inning. He and Kyle Schwarber pull off the double steal, giving them runners on second and third with nobody out. JT Realmuto hits the sacrifice fly to right field. Fundamentals, guys. JT Realmuto didn't need to hit a three-run home run there. He gets the ball deep enough to right field to score the speedy Harrison Bader from third base, and the Phillies take the lead in the top of the 10th inning, get that 6-5 lead. And then in the 7th, you had the bottom of the lineup heroes. And this is what I mean. When you have a whole lineup that's hitting well, that's having good at-bats, that's putting good swings on the baseball, you didn't need Kyle Schwarber and Harrison Bader and Trey Turner at the top of the lineup to get this team back in the game. It's 3-1 in the 7th. They had been dominated by Emmett Sheehan for 5 2/3 innings. He had given up no hits for 5 innings. But then down 3-1, top of the 7th, Otto Kemp, who has been red hot since being recalled from AAA, clearly feeling more comfortable now at the major league level than he did his first time around, subbing for Alec Bohm, who looks like he'll be back and ready to go on Friday. Otto Kemp comes up in the top of the 7th and hits a ground rule double to lead off the inning. A huge hit. A huge hit. A monster hit. We shouldn't lose the Otto Kemp double. And what a big hit that was in that spot. No one could touch Emmett Sheehan. And Otto Kemp comes through with a ground rule double to left field. After a Max Kepler ground out moved him to third base, Bryson Stott, as he has done over and over again since the start of August, and really in the second half too, comes through with a line shot up the middle, an RBI single to make it 3-2. And then Weston Wilson? Weston Wilson? Are you kidding me? Weston Wilson with the biggest hit of his career, a two-run blast to dead center field to give the Phillies the short-lived but 4-3 lead in the top of the 7th inning. The Phillies come all the way back, and of course led by Otto Kemp, Bryson Stott, and Weston Wilson. Tremendous hit by Weston Wilson. I really hope there's a way to keep both Otto Kemp and Weston Wilson on the postseason roster, but I don't think there will be. Weston Wilson playing second base with Trey Turner and Edmundo Sosa out. Bryson Stott playing short. Weston Wilson getting starts at second base right now. Coming through as the nine-hole guy. You need your nine-hole guy to do things in the playoffs. He can't be an automatic out like we saw with Johan Rojas these last few years. Weston Wilson may not be the best player on the team, but he's not an automatic out as we saw in this game on Monday night. And really, he's had a couple of big home runs over these last couple of weeks. A huge hit in the 7th inning. But then we go from the 9-hole hitter to the guy who could win National League MVP, Kyle Schwarber. Gets things started with a first inning home run, his 53rd home run off the year, and he gets it off of the lefty opener, Anthony Banda. Anthony Banda, a reliever, gets the start specifically to get Schwarber and Harper out in the first inning. Instead, he gives up a home run to Schwarber and walks Bryce Harper. Dave Roberts, we're still doing openers, huh? We're still doing those? You're like the only guy left doing openers, but you're not just going to let Emmett Sheehan start the game? You don't have that kind of Gabe Kapler's time is over, guys. Like, what are we doing? We're still doing openers? You're not the Rays? You don't need to do that? I know Andrew Friedman runs the show and he was a Ray, but you don't need to do that? Emmett Sheehan's numbers were great and we saw how good he was. What are we doing? Outthink yourself. Still doing openers, huh? Here in 2025, we're still doing... Okay. All right. Didn't work out. Kyle Schwarber hits his 53rd home run of the year, gets the Phillies off on the good foot to a 1-0 lead. And I know Ranger Suarez, by the time he left the game, he was losing 3-1, but I thought Ranger Suarez pitched really well. The Dodgers are a good team. And Suarez went 6 innings, gave up 7 hits, but just 3 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. It's a perfectly serviceable outing for Ranger. He wasn't as dynamic as he had been in his last couple of starts, but... if he's your game 2 or game 3 starter, I will take that every time. I will take what Ranger Suarez gave the Phillies on Monday night every time. Kept them in the game, pitched pretty well, made good pitches against good hitters, and they have good hitters and they got some hits off him. That's okay. It happens. If this is what he gives you in the playoffs, the Phillies should be absolutely fine. Now, there were some bullpen blips in the game on Monday night. You had Orion Kerkering, who was tasked to protect that 4-3 lead that Weston Wilson gave them. Couldn't do it. He had not been scored upon in September, but he gives up a solo home run to make it 4-4. And then Joan Duran, the Phillies' lockdown closer, after Bryce Harper gives them a 5-4 lead. Hey, look, he hung a breaking ball. He hung a curveball. And the little center fielder Pages for the Dodgers. I know his name's not pronounced Pages. It's Pajas. But he looks – I like Andy Pages, I think is his name. Yeah. Pages hits the home run. I mean, he just – Duran hung a curveball right over the middle of the plate. I mean, just awful location. I don't care how good you are. You hang a breaking ball dead center up belt high, it's probably leaving the yard. And so Duran could not get the save and lock down the division in the requisite nine innings, and so they had to go to extra innings. But you're not going to really get upset about Joan Duran giving up a home run there. But you can't see that in the postseason. Get it out of your way now. Get it done now. Can't do that in the playoffs. Duran's got to be perfect in the playoffs. I'm sorry, that's the expectation. That's what's got to happen. Joan Duran, get it out of your system now, Duran. You can't do that in the – if it's game six of a playoff series and you got a one-run lead to protect – can't hang a breaking ball. Can't do it. And he threw his curveball shaking off JT Realmuto, apparently. Don't shake off JT. Just JT hits the button on his wrist for the pitch comm. Just throw what he tells you. Just do it and do it with conviction. But you're not going to get angry at Duran. He's been so amazing since coming to the Phillies. And Kirkring had been great in September. He's been pretty up and down, which is why I would feel better with David Robertson in the eighth inning. But you threw Kirkring in the eighth, and then you had Robertson for the tenth. And that's why having a deep bullpen at this time of year is so very important. Tremendous win for the Phillies on Monday night to clinch the division. Up next, two more games against the Dodgers and a chance to put to bed any doubt about getting the number two seed and then going after the number one seed. And I just want the Phillies. I don't know what the starting lineup's going to look like on Tuesday night, because a lot of those guys had a lot to drink on Monday night. Bryce Harper will be in the lineup because he was drinking apple juice. Bryce Harper doesn't drink, so they had a big funnel in the clubhouse afterwards. And you know, Kyle Schwarber was saying, "I'm absolutely hammered right now." I don't know if I'd expect to see Schwarber in the lineup on Tuesday night. There's probably a number of guys who won't be in the lineup, but the team's down a few stars, so you've already got a lot of the backups playing here right now. I would imagine you'll see Donovan Watson in the starting lineup on Tuesday night. But the Phillies got to maintain that energy. They got to maintain that intensity here over the final 11 games, because there are still some things to play for, and even when there aren't, you don't want to lose that edge. Want the Phillies to bottle this. Please, Phillies, whatever it is you're doing right now, bottle it for the playoffs. This is how you want this team to be playing in October. If the Phillies play like this in October, they're winning the World Series, guys. They are. This is the best team in baseball. They have all the talent in the world. Everybody's playing up to their capabilities right now. Everybody's contributing. Starters, relievers, everyone in the lineup. This is what you want. This is a World Series winning team. This is a World Series winning performance. Bottle this, Phillies. Please bottle this. On the midweek podcast, I'll go into a little bit more about just how the Phillies got here. How did they win their second straight division title? The ups and downs of this 2025 season, we'll talk a little bit about it. How they won their second straight NL East title and why they are so well prepared for a title run this time around. But that'll do it for this emergency edition of Hittin' Season. Wanted to just get you something to feel good about, something to listen to on the car ride home from work or on your way to work, whenever it is you choose to listen to this at the gym. Celebrate the Phillies' second straight National League East title, a 6-5 win over the Dodgers in Los Angeles in 10 innings. What a night out west in California. I know a lot of you didn't stay up to see it, but hopefully you enjoyed this edition of the podcast to help get you through it. And don't forget to please tell your friends and family members about Hittin' Season. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on all the podcast platforms, so you can help people get it on their phones, grab their phones from them, and find Hittin' Season for them and subscribe so that they can be in on this World Series winning team right now. No better time than right now to get on board with Hittin' Season. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.